Awesome. Well, we're going to be, I'm going to be wrapping up our series of Don't Miss Out, and it's going to be a summary, and the goal is to be brief. And I say that, and I always go longer, but I'm going to try. So at least I'm going to try. It's good to have a goal, right? To be brief. I'm going to summarize a little bit of what the Lord was sharing in John 13 to 17 the best I can. But we're going to make the sermon a little shorter today, and the reason why is we want to have an opportunity to hear from you, both those who are in the building right now or also in the tent. How has the Lord been working in your life over the past several weeks as we've been in this Don't Miss Out series? Is there ways that God's been working in your life, maybe growing, things you've been holding on to, maybe things you've been letting go of, ways God's been speaking to you in His Word? Our vision here is that we all be growing towards maturity in Christ. And we want to make some intentional space at the end of this message for you to share. And the way we'll do that is we'll have a mic runner both inside the building and also in the tent, which should be fun. We haven't done this before. But to have an opportunity for us to edify and build each other up. If you know Christ, that means you're part of God's global kingdom and part of His body. And if you'd be willing to, I know it can sometimes be scary to share in a more open format, but if you feel like the Lord is giving you something that you'd like to share, we would like to make space for that in a couple of minutes. So that'll be right after the message. So don't miss out. I had two different titles. Now the title I'm going on is Don't Miss Out on Obedience. And I want to talk about when I was at Bible school. I was in a world evangelistic class. I remember we had a guest speaker, a pastor from India. And he came and he started to talk about a message that sounded really, really familiar. He kept talking about the Great Commission, or so I thought. And as he kept talking about the Great Commission, I kept thinking, like, the way he's talking about it sounds a little bit different than the way I'm used to. And I realized through he had a very thick accent that when he was actually saying Great Commission, he was actually saying the Great Omission. And at first, I thought that was an accident. I'm like, oh, maybe he meant to say Great Commission. But the omission, omitting something, I'm like, where's this message going? And as he shared over time in the course, he shared that as he's going all around India and planting churches and doing things like that, one of the things he sees in his country as well as in, specifically in America as he's been here, that sometimes Christians, us, those who follow Jesus, can know a whole lot about the Great Commission, but not do much with it. And so his title is Great Omission. He's like, Matthew 28, a couple of verses at the end, he's like, are some of the most well-known verses in the Bible that are very rarely put into practice. And that's, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I almost blanked on that one. Baptize, here, help me out. Baptize in the name of the Holy Spirit and teaching them, thank you, to obey everything I have commanded you. And I'm with you to the very end of the days. I think I almost got it. If not, be like the Bereans and double check what the Bible says at the end of this message. But the idea of being disciples who make disciples, and that word seems foreign. The idea is just being a student of Jesus, a student of His Word, and making more students who look not like us in the sense of just our brokenness, but look like Jesus. And that invitation was for everyone. But I'd never been so convicted in a message before and had done nothing really with it than that one message, the Great Omission, that he's like, there are so many believers who know this passage, but their lives live the opposite of it. And that just stood home with me. As I was thinking about all these invitations that Jesus is saying in John 13 to 17, we're going to look at a couple. Some of them are commands, some of them are reminders. But Lord, if we want to be true followers of you, God, I want to be part of hearing your word and doing your word. Lord, I just don't want to take all we just heard the last several weeks and just have it go into my mind, and then I can almost recite it on a public stage but mess up half the verse if you've ever been there, like I just did. Lord, I want to live this out. And I'm believing we want to do that together, amen? And sometimes maybe we get real busy, right? God, I'm just so busy. I know the verse. I just haven't done anything with it. Or maybe we get real distracted, just like, Lord, but then there's this. And maybe we get distracted by good things or sometimes by sin things. Or maybe we feel like we're stuck in a sin, or maybe we are, and we're in some type of addiction. you, Lord, I want to be part of your kingdom business, but I'm focused so much on trying to avoid this or whatever that might be, that, Lord, we're missing out on what God has invited us to do, the primary thing God has invited us to do, make disciples of all nations, students, essentially, of Jesus. And so I want to look through this kind of with that kind of lens as we're looking in John 13. And my efforts to look at a couple verses in each chapter, I'm hoping this will be helpful. It could be a lot. I know when I was talking to Andrea, I think you mentioned this series has been like your words, but like drinking from like a fire hose or like a hydrant. It's like so much things from Jesus all at the same time. It almost can feel kind of overwhelming. Even last week, right, John 17, Jesus' prayer, there's a lot in there, right? To kind of like take it all in. It's like I was even reading it this morning again. I was like, wow, there's a lot in there. But here's my goal for today. That we wouldn't apply every single thing we're hearing. That might sound kind of bad. But here's it. Apply what the Lord is asking you to do today. Are you with me? So inviting the Holy Spirit. You're going to hear a lot of scriptures this morning. But what might the Lord ask you to be applying this week? How can you apply this week? Maybe you could ask someone to help you with that, pray for you. And maybe you might want to share that with someone as a way to kind of seal the deal, so to speak, on, Lord, I want to grow, and I want to grow in community. So let's look at a couple things from Don't Miss Out, this series. I'm going to do my best to summarize. So in John 13, we'll remember, this was before the Passover feast. Jesus gets the disciples together, and he's telling them, hey, I'm going to be leaving you soon. And I'm sure the disciples are trying to figure all that out. What exactly is Jesus saying? And have you ever noticed that that's a lot of the theme in the Bible? What is Jesus saying? Like, what is he really meaning? Where are you going? We can't go. What is he talking about? But we might remember in the beginning of the series, as we started off, and I believe we'll have the scriptures pop up, but verse 17 of chapter 13, right after Jesus has shown what it looked like to love someone by washing their feet, he says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Right. Not just know them. Blessed are you if you do them. And it was a radical level of love and humility and service. So as we're going through this, just ask the Holy Spirit, God, what would you like me to apply today and this week? Once again, there's a lot of things. Just ask the Lord for one. Or maybe it's two, but don't get overwhelmed by how many different things there are. He gave them a new commandment in John 13. You might remember this. In verse 34, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And you might remember Jesus is very much upping kind of the level for love. It's not just loving as yourself. He ups it more. He says, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. So if you're in a difficult spot in a relationship, you're wondering, how well should I love the person? You can kind of think, I don't really know if I want to love them. But if our model is Jesus, am I going to love them like Jesus? I find that convicting. Even this past week, I needed to call a dear friend in a different area, and I felt like the Lord's like, just love on this person. I'm like, I'm so busy, whatever. Once again, don't love like Jim. Love like Jesus. Some of us might need to make that step this week. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Jesus isn't looking for knowledge-based disciples, but obedience-based disciples. He says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. John 14, we'll keep moving along. He talks about comforting his disciples. I remember, this is just a summary, so if you've been with us, you probably all know this, but we're just summarizing. Great way to remember and, Lord willing, apply. But as he's comforting disciples, because he says he's going away, and it's like, wait, you're going away, and we don't know where you're going. Jesus is like, don't worry, I'm going to prepare a room for you. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to bring you with me. It's going to be all right. And they're like, how will we know the way? And Jesus says in verse 6 of chapter 14, Jesus said to them, I am the way. Jesus talking to him about himself. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Are you thankful for that this morning? Yeah. That you can come to Jesus to God specifically, right through Jesus. I've shared this before, this story, but it just so just stays with me. When I think about getting stuck in certain locations, I remember a lady I met down in the Bronx. We were doing inner city, just some ministry and stuff, and we were with a mobile unit, had some food. It's a really cool. They took like a bus and converted it into a soup kitchen. Also had a detox unit, and so we got to hang out with a lot of folks that were just stuck in addiction and difficult places. I remember this lady came, and she was in the line. Well, there's a food line, and then she was standing right over here just looking up to heaven like this. And I just went over and was like, hey, anything I can help you with? Are you hungry? Or can I pray for you? And she's just saying, last week, she's like, I met Jesus for the first time right here on the sidewalk, in addiction, stuck in darkness, and Jesus set me free. And she's like, I had to come back here so I can meet with Jesus again. And I felt like the Lord was prompting me to be like, you don't actually have to go to some location to meet with Jesus, right? You can come right to God through Jesus in your apartment, in the park, on the sidewalk. If you want to stand right here, that's totally fine. And just the joy and freedom on her face when she realized that Jesus wasn't bound to just the sidewalk next to a soup kitchen truck. Jesus was available anywhere you called out to him. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Now, the disciples were with their Messiah, their rabbi, their leader. There was Jesus, and Jesus keeps saying, I'm leaving. But he's like, it's better that I leave because I'm sending someone else, sending the counselor, the Holy Spirit. Verse 15 to 17 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And that's a good reminder, actually. When we're talking about obedience, sometimes you can get into like that weird, unhealthy, like guilt-based obedience. I don't know if you ever struggle with that. I need to do my quiet time because otherwise God won't be happy. No, no, no. You want to spend time with God because God loves you, and you can love. You see the difference, right? So I love this. Jesus says, if you love me, if there's like a love relationship going on, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And he's talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit coming. That the Holy Spirit would be within you and dwelling, and that would be with you forever. And I'm sure the disciples were wrestling like, well, it's great that the Holy Spirit's coming, but you're here right now, right? Can't we just keep you? But Jesus knew that this would be better for them, not just for them, for the entire world. Chapter 15, there's a big theme that Jesus talks about in the beginning. It talks about abiding in Jesus, abiding in his love, abiding in his word, or another way of saying that, kind of making his home or remaining and all these things. It says, if you do these things, you'll bear much fruit. And in chapter 15, it says, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is such a good teacher because he's teaching his students, his disciples, here's some things to be doing, but he's also teaching them that unless you spend time with me and abide, you cannot accomplish the things I'm inviting you to do. Do you see that? Unless you spend time with Jesus and abide in Jesus, you will be unable to accomplish the things he's asking you to do. So I hope at the end of this message you're not thinking, here's a bunch of to-do lists of things I need to do for Jesus without Jesus, because that's called religion. And Jesus is longing for a relationship with each one of us that's based in abiding. This is the starting, this is the staying point. This could be an unlocking point for some people this morning, abiding with Jesus. A couple days ago, I just went up to, I was going to go to a different park, but then there was some railroad crossing work getting done, so I had to take like a 10-minute detour. So I ended up in Madrid. Madrid's beautiful. All those who live in Madrid, shout out. But I ended up at a park there, and I decided just to read my Bible right next to like this nice river or whatever's flowing there, and just abiding with Jesus. And there's just something about being still before our God and just receiving and listening and let him work inside our heart and our soul. Sometimes we don't even know what's going on inside of us. Or if we have to be honest, maybe most of the time. God, what's really going on? And just spending time with the Lord. God, I want to abide. I want to slow the pace. God, even when it's a crazy schedule, just to be with Chapter 16, Jesus continues, and he shares that even though he's leaving, and actually is going to be causing some grief soon, he says that this grief will turn to joy. And maybe you're in a season of grief right now, and you can relate at some levels to just your grief. But he says in verse 20 and 22, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep, or other translations say grieve, and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. I'll just pause there. As many of you know, I'm super blessed. I have four kids, and I've been able to be at the bedside as my wife, Crystal, who's awesome, delivered all four of the children. Just it's crazy. It's awesome. But to see this joy in real every single time, lots of difficulty. I won't get into details there, but any of the moms out there, shout outs to you. You do something I can never do, ever. I have such a low tolerance for pain. But it's amazing to see such difficulty, pain, struggle, and then see the joy that comes when you're holding, in our case, Peter or Josh or Grace or Abigail. And I'm like, wow. And I'm thinking, how did you get through all this? And my mind's like, oh. You know, she's holding my hand by the bedside, so I make it. I'm that kind of guy. So some of the women are like, ugh, you're that guy. But like, I'm like, oh, my hand is sore. You know, she's like, I just delivered a baby, but we're at the same place. It's a bad comparison to do, by the way. If you ever have children, don't do that. But I've learned. But to see the joy that comes after the pain, and Jesus is making this illustration, which is so powerful and beautiful, but so true. Pain, but after the anguish, joy. And he says, verse 22, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Words from Jesus. That Jesus, he knew there's going to be difficult times coming up for them. He knew that persecution would be following even after. He knows everything, but knowing that there's joy that he'll bring that ultimately will not be taken away from them. He also invites them to have peace as they're going into what will be difficult times, and we'll see that in just a moment in chapter 17. He says in verse 33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. That's such a key phrase, that in me you may have peace. Not in the circumstances, right? But in Christ. In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen? Wow. I like how Jesus, he's just up front with them. He's not saying the journey is going to be easy and then we get surprised with tribulation. He's saying it's going to be hard on the front. But not to worry, I have overcome the world. You can have peace in Christ even today because of Jesus. You can have joy in Christ even today because of Jesus. The promises he makes, not based on our circumstances. In chapter 17, Jesus prays and we were looking at this last week, and maybe some of the testimonies might be from last week. Maybe you were able to just encounter God in a powerful way with your brothers and sisters in prayer. But as a reminder, Jesus prays for himself. He prays for his disciples, his students, but also the students that those students would be reaching, that they would be living out the Great Commission. And he prays for protection over them. He lets them know it's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult, the world is going to hate you, it hated him first, so get ready. In verse 14 to 15, it says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because you are not of this world, just as I'm not of this world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. I was talking to some, I've been able to get some really cool connections on a weekly basis. I'm coaching with pastors locally and globally. And I was talking to one pastor that knows another pastor in India. And was just mentioning that in one part of India, there's a lot of persecution, I guess, in this one town. And this family will get together, mom, dad, the kids. And the dad's going out to share Jesus on the regular like basis. And they realize in this town that there's a high possibility that when dad or the husband goes out, that he's not coming home. But it's because the persecution is that fierce. And so they have breakfast every morning, and they pray, and they celebrate that dad's going out, the husband's going out to share Christ. And they're praying that he'll be protected. They're praying that he'll be safe. But even more than that, they're praying that the kingdom would advance. And if the Lord sees it fit to bring him home, they're also praying and celebrating that. And I'll just be honest. When I heard that, that's a lot of different way than I normally think, right? The idea of going, hey, you're going out. You might be persecuted for the name of Jesus. You might be beaten up for the name of Jesus. You might be slandered for the name of Jesus. You might even be martyred for the name of Jesus. But learning from brothers and sisters in other countries who are actually rejoicing at the opportunity to be like Jesus. There's some passages, I know in our culture it's nice if we can skim by, but if you look at the scripture and what Jesus says, and you look at brothers and sisters in other countries where there's persecution, they literally live this out. And maybe for some of this might be a place of, Lord, we really don't have any persecution compared to other countries. We might have a little bit of a taste, but really not as some of our persecuted brothers and sisters. But maybe the Lord might be inviting us to take a step, a boldness to love, to share, to serve like Jesus in the world around us. As I wrap this up, he says, and he's praying for that the disciples would have a full measure of joy, that they would be united. There's so many things that can divide, and Jesus knows that. Even today, we don't have to list them all, but there's a lot of things that can divide us. But prayer that, Lord, the Father, they would be united. May us here together, may we be united around Jesus. May we be united in sharing with others what the Lord has done in our life, what God has maybe even shown us in his word. Maybe what even God has showed us today, the Lord might be inviting you to, well, not might, I know he's inviting you, making it nicer. He is inviting us to go out and share what he's showing with us today. We'll be a boldness. In verse 26, he prays in that love would just abound for them. He says, I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. When the world hates, when the world persecutes, slanders, the response is not supposed to be hate for hate, slander for slander, right? It's supposed to be love, unconditional love. Jesus didn't kill his enemies. He came and died for those who rebelled against him. And in case we're thinking the enemies are always someone else, he died for sinners like you and me. That's the kind of Jesus that we're called to follow. So I want to have just a quick reflection, and then we're going to have some testimony time. And I think we're doing good on time. Just double check. We want to be done at 11:45. Just two reflection questions for this week. And we'll take a moment just to maybe pause for a minute. If you want to write something down, put it in your phone, text somebody to help you out. But what will you do this week, right? We want to be both hearers and doers. But what will you do this week in response to God's word? So you just heard a bunch of scriptures from the series kind of summarized. Did any of those maybe stand out to you that maybe the Lord's speaking to you? I really want you to meditate and apply this scripture. Or maybe there's something that you came with this morning. Maybe you spent time with the word and God has already showed you what to apply. But what will you do this week in response to God's word? And remember, if you love God, you will obey his commandments. If you love God, you will obey his commandments. And I'm believing that we love Jesus a whole lot here. So I don't want to question that. I'm just going to ask, are we going to obey his commandments? So that's one thing we'll take a moment to think about. And is there anyone you can share this with this week? Great Commission invites all of us to go and make disciples. Not just some of us. Not those that can be up here on a stage. All of us to go out there and make disciples. And what is the Lord showing you that you might be able to share with someone? Maybe someone in your family, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a coworker, maybe there's someone you met in the community that you just want to be able to share. I want to share the difference that God has made in my life. Do you mind if I share a story with you? Jesus was talking about this. It really impacted me like this. And I believe that God wants to work in your life. It can be whatever the Lord wants to do, but it's so nice when we can just listen to God and be like, Lord, we want to be obedient to you and what you're calling us to. So let's take a moment just to be quiet before the Lord. Just invite the Lord. God, what would you want me to respond to in your word today? And who can I share it with? And then we're going to have some testimony time. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, that your word speaks to us. God, thank you that you speak to us. God, I just pray that you'd open our hearts just for this time or maybe throughout this day just to hear from you specifically on how we can obey in response to your word. So just take a moment to be quiet before the Lord and invite God to speak to you. God, I just thank you that we can just slow down just to be and abide with you. Lord, I just pray that for those who maybe have already received something from you, God, I just pray for the courage and the faithfulness to follow up on what you invited us to do this week. For those who are still listening, you're like, I haven't heard anything yet, God, I pray just for, open conversation with you this week, God, to hear and to apply, Lord. God, thank you so much that you love us and care for us. God, may we be emboldened, empowered with your love, united in your spirit, God, to accomplish your kingdom purposes for the short amount of time we're on this planet. God, may your kingdom come and your will be done, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I encourage you, share this with someone, what the Lord showed you today with someone else. Even if you want to start with just another believer in the room, that's a great place. I encourage you, share what the Lord's doing in your life. There's so much power through the power of a testimony.